week's matchups, covering area teams from Gordon to Cross Plains and everything in between. Now, let's head to the floor room of Blake Fullenweider Dodge for the area's coaches show with your hosts, Terry Slavens, Matthew Householder, and Lee Lewis.
A good Monday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Blake Fullenweider Dodge Area Coaches Show here on KETX 97.7. This is where you can find all things football throughout the football season on Mondays from 12:30 to 1:30 throughout the football season and into the playoffs as we recap games of interest around the area from Friday night. We preview games of interest coming up the next Friday night, and we are joined by a coach every week. This week it'll be Brian Hewlett joining us. At 12:45, he'll talk Eastland Mavericks. They have a whole lot coming up with a homecoming weekend game against the Grandview Zebras. Also joining me here for this segment and joining me each week will be Lee Lewis. He's the voice of the Cisco Lobos on our sister station, KWBY, and our sports director, program director, janitor, jack of all trades, Matthew Householder, also joining us here. Michael Crash Cockburn running the board. Back in the studio for us. And guys, we're changing the format up a little bit from last year. Last year, Matthew joined me as the board op and would join me on the air, and then we tried to have two coaches come in each week, but a little hard to get two coaches every week. You took 10 or 12 weeks, however long we do this, you end up looking at 20, 24 coaches. This year we're going to bring one coach in a week, but we're going to talk a whole lot of high school football and some college football, and Matthew, we might even talk about how the Cowboys won, just hung on in spite of the 6 turnovers.
W's a W.
A win is a win. The first segment, this first 15-minute segment, just sort of a roundtable discussion. We'll discuss anything you have on your mind. I'll get it started, throw things out there first. What about surprises in the first 2 weeks? Week 0, week 1. For me, maybe Abilene High sitting at 0-2, and not only sitting at 0-2, but being beaten convincingly in their first two football games.
Yeah, I'd say that's a big one. Of course, they had a lot of turnover, graduated a lot of kids, but I think they were expecting their defense probably to be a little bit stronger than it's shown so far. But, you know, that said, they haven't exactly played in cream puffs the first 2 weeks either. The other one for me, and I was talking, Evan was in and did the interview at halftime with us last week, and I was just throwing this out to him because I really hadn't been able to keep up with what was going on with Monday, but Monday coming in 0-2 now. And Evan had a lot to say about the fact that this Monday team is not like the Monday teams of the last few years. He said that they've lost a lot of speed. And speed is something that you can't coach. That's coach talk for, you know, we're just what we are, speed-wise. And they're struggling a little bit, and I think probably for me that one there again, they have played some tough teams. The first 2 weeks they got Winthorpe and Stanford, so you know they haven't played any patsies either, so that was a biggie for me.
Of course, Monday being a defending state champion, Stanford a defending state champion, I'm drawing a blank on the player's name from from Monday that graduated last year. Not only was he a phenomenal football
player,
D-Paul.
He ended up going to Texas Tech and was in the spring game. Actually saw quite a bit of playing time in the spring game. I haven't seen anything that Tech's done so far this year, so I don't know if he's in getting any action or not. I couldn't answer that, honestly.
Matthew, any surprises for you in the early stages of the 2013 football season?
I think both of y'all hit the nail on the heads with those two. I mean, those were pretty much the biggest surprises that we've seen, especially with Abilene High already dropping to an 0-2 record. I mean, what can you say about it, though? You know, it's 5A football, and there's a lot of talent that comes in, a lot of talent that leaves each year with the senior classes. And I think when we start looking a little more locally, especially across District 4, 2A, Division 1, where Eastland was located, Merkle, I was actually surprised, not doing as well as I thought they'd be doing.
Of course, they, too, started the season with a couple of tough games.
Well, and they also lost Baylor Mullins, who was one of their biggest all-stars all the way across the football field, basketball, everything.
What about the state of the University of Texas football program coming off the loss to BYU over the weekend?
I'm just going to throw my opinion out there on this. I have a son that goes to school down there. I really thought the big news yesterday, of course, was they fired their defensive coordinator after they gave up 500-plus yards of offense against the BYU. I really felt like maybe he should have been out last year because they were having the same problem last year. And I watched the second half of that game after a wedding the other night. It was delayed 2 hours by a storm. They had no answer. No answer. It was the same play over and over and over, and they just had no answer. And at some point, you got to find something maybe to come up with an answer, and they never did. So I don't know the guy that's coming in, but evidently he's won a couple of Super Bowls somewhere and was part of the staff back in the early 2000s. So, yeah, I sent Logan a text and said, you know what, tough day to be a Longhorn. And he gave me one of them, I don't know, emoticons or whatever it's called, about what the
fears are.
Yeah, it was pretty rough, evidently.
Hey, talking a little NFL football, Coach Hewlett has entered the building, and he wants to talk. He wants us to talk about the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning, 7 touchdown passes on Thursday night to open the 2000. I mean, the old man still has it.
He was on fire, is all I can say. He looked awesome. I told my youngest son's in a fantasy football thing, and I said, you better get that Thomas guy that plays tight end for the Broncos because he's going to be hooking up with him for a few touchdowns this year. They looked really good.
Well, and also with the Denver Broncos, Wes Welker from the New England Patriots, everybody's saying, well, Wes may be a little bit more on the end of his journey in the pro league, but however, he still stepped up, made some good plays, and is definitely an asset.
I think the only negative thing you say about Wes was he dropped that punt inside the 10-yard line the other day.
Yeah.
That was good. They look good.
They look real good. Okay, we'll go ahead and talk about the Cowboys. I know you all want to.
Who'd you pick your pick-em contest?
Well, let me tell you. I've decided that getting under your skin is not worth me losing the pick-em contest anymore.
Here we go. Here it is.
I'm taking the Cowboys this week against the Chiefs.
You know, honestly, this week is kind of up in the air. I'm feeling a little queasy about this upcoming game against the Chiefs. Chiefs put up a great showcase on Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville only getting 2 points, and that was on a blocked punt.
Was it 28-2?
Yeah, 28-2. And it was a blocked punt that turned into a safety, and that was the first time ever recorded in history that specific score. But, that happens all the time.
You talked about the Chiefs. A surprise. A surprise there. The St. Louis Rams and Sam Bradford come up with a final second win over Arizona, which is, Arizona is not the team they were a few years ago, but maybe
that's still tough.
Maybe the Rams and former Oklahoma quarterback Bradford, maybe they're about ready to turn things around under their, the coach's second season at the helm,
I believe. So.
Yeah. And this is the first year that he's had the same offensive coordinator.
Jeff Fisher, right?
Fisher. And it's the first time that Bradford's had the same offensive coordinator for two seasons in a row.
Cowboy-wise, the last 4 or 5 years, they would have lost that game. They had everything going for them. They still would figure out how to lose it, but they didn't.
Well, you know what Jerry Jones said, that the reason that they won is because he changed the name of the stadium.
Well,
the first week
he's got to come up with something good.
So actually, the Giants are still undefeated at Cowboys.
At Cowboys,
they're but they haven't won a game at AT&T Stadium.
They are 0-1 at the newly named stadium.
This is all I'm going to say about really the Cowboys game and the upcoming season. I've already said that I'm not going to hate on Tony Romo as much as I would love to at times, because he looks like he's stepping up and taking more of the leadership role that we've all waited for him to take. He's getting irritated when people aren't making the correct route runs, and that's what happened with the very first interception. New guy came in, thought he could put a juke. Well, Romo saw him go for the juke and thought that he was going to go ahead and pull a hook, so he tossed the ball. Receiver never even saw it before he was already taken off in an interception. So that's just a straight miscommunication, and if the Cowboys can lock that down, I think that hopefully we'll have a pretty good year ahead of us.
All right, before we take our commercial break and bring in Coach Brian Hewlett, let's talk a little bit about more locally. We have, that I know of, and Lee, you might know more, but I know of 3 guys that are playing, they're from Eastern County, that are playing collegiate football, and they're all 3 in their final year of eligibility, and that would be Zepp Barron from here in Eastland. He's at Hardin-Simmons. along with Colton Brewer at Hardin-Simmons, and Corey Pippen is the defensive captain for the McMurray Warhawks.
Yeah.
Russell Williams, yeah.
I was going to say, there's a kid at TCU.
The big one.
I'm trying to remember his first name.
A big old powerful boy.
Well, and then I think there's Mason Guidry, who played at Cisco last year. It's either a Division III or an NAI school somewhere. And I'm sorry, I can see the name, and I can't figure out which one it is. Yeah, I'll try to have that next week. He's playing there. I think we've got a couple others that are in other sports. But as far as I know, he's the only football guy.
And Colton and Zeth, they were up in Salem, Oregon over the weekend playing.
Wow.
Sean Brewer texted us. He was not at the high school game because he was up in Oregon watching Colton play. Corey Pippen and the Warhawks played ACU, and the first points that McMurray has scored against ACU since 1971, they got 17 on the board. Unfortunately, ACU put up 60. But
that's the difference between a school making the change to Division One and a school making the change to Division Two. Two completely different.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Size and speed is what I saw.
Trip Britton,
Incarnate Word. There's another one.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking that
Trip's the starting quarterback of Incarnate Word.
Okay.
And if anyone wants to see Trip play, he'll be in Abilene twice,
yeah.
At McMurray and at ACU. And but yeah, Tripp. Yeah, see, I should do my homework.
Well, and jumping back just really quickly, because I know that you don't want to brag too much, but Corey Pippen was actually named defensive captain for the McMurray Warhawks,
that's
and got a good sack, and I heard him in on a few tackles. I think eight total.
He's the second league tackle on the team with eight, with a quarterback sack for a loss, and unfortunately for McMurray, they head east this weekend, and. Stephen F. Austin, who played their money game against Texas Tech on Saturday, is the opponent for McMurray as we go to a money game out there. And McMurray has a very tough schedule this year as they make that transition to Division II.
I see number four.
Uniform number two.
Two.
Yes.
Okay, I just remember, and I didn't know which one he was, but there was number four. I don't know if two is in that footage that they show on television all the time between AC and McMurray, and it was not pretty. There was this big 300-pound lineman coming out. Whoever it was got drilled pretty hard. I'm sure whoever that was is ready for that footage to disappear forever.
And don't let me forget to come back to it, because I want to get Coach Hewitt on and get him out so we can get back to coaching. But let's not forget to talk about the Cisco Wranglers, which you'll have the call of the game Thursday
night.
Thursday night ball game that you can hear live on KTX. We're going to take a two-minute break. We'll come back with more of the Blake Fullwater Dodge Area Coaches Show on KATX Sports.
Looking for style and economy in a new ride? How about the 2013 Dodge Dart, offering 41 miles per gallon? Mid-size interior room, and Blake Fullenweider's pricing at under $200 a month makes the 2013 Dart a winner in its class with horsepower, 17-inch wheels, and 10 airbags as standard equipment. Test drive the new 2013 Dodge Dart today and pick up a couple of vouchers for tickets to the West Texas Fair and Rodeo from Blake Fullenweider Dodge in Eastland. Whether you're towing heavy equipment or hauling heavy payloads, the 2013 Ram 2500 is your answer to making a job easier. Consider an available 350-horsepower Cummins diesel and an unsurpassed 800 foot-pounds of torque and $11,000 off in rebates and discounts from Blake Fullenweider Dodge in Eastland. Add to that Blake Fullenweider Dodge's 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, and you've got a winning combination. Now that's how Blake Fullenweider does heavy duty. Guts, glory, Ram. At Blake Fullenweider Dodge on Main Street in Eastland. Looking for style and economy in a new ride? How about the 2013 Dodge Dart, offering 41 miles per gallon, mid-size interior room, and Blake Fullenweider's pricing at under $200 a month make the 2013 Dart a winner in its class with horsepower, 17-inch wheels, and 10 airbags as standard equipment. Test drive the new 2013 Dodge Dart today, and you'll be automatically entered to win $10,000 more in our great Frisbee promotion from Blake Fullenweider Dodge in Eastland.
Blake Floodwater Dodge is bringing you the summer clearance event with savings on new Ram trucks. Looking for value on a heavy duty? How about a new 2012 Ram 2500 4x4 crew cab for $13,400 off? Or a new 2012 Ram 2500 Longhorn for $14,353 off? That's unheard of savings, totaling almost a 25% savings. Save like never before at our huge final clearance of new 2012 Rams during the summer clearance event. Choose from more than 250 new Rams and save like never before only at Blake Floodwater Dodge in Eastland.
And welcome back into the Blake Fullwater Dodge Area Coaches Show here on KETX. Terry Slavens, Lee Lewis, now joined by Athletic Director, Head Football Coach for the Eastland Mavericks, Brian Hewlett. And, Coach, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to come out here and join us. I know a big week coming up for y'all with homecoming and Grandview coming down, but off the air, or right before we came on the air, you were talking about Trent Britton, and we talked about him briefly in the first segment, but quarterback incarnate word, and they got a big win over Texas College.
Yeah, you know, the score was, I think, 69 to nothing, 60-something to nothing, and I looked it up this morning. I think Texas College actually in their first year, if I'm not mistaken, but, you know, with incarnate word going up to 1AA, I don't know, FCS, FBS, F-something-S, they're going to have those games, you know, where they're going to be on the other end of it, but had a good night. He was rushed for touchdown several yards. I think he was extremely efficient. It's something like 14 of 16 for 250 yards and 4 or 5 touchdowns. You know, I think played about a half or so, you know, and in the first game when they got beat pretty bad, he had a good game there. So there's their leading rusher, scored their only touchdown, threw the ball well, took care of it, had no interceptions. So he's doing well, and he's been enjoying it. And, you know, I think just being a freshman is going to continue to grow and get better.
Oh, that's right. He was redshirted last year, so he'll have a He still has, including this year, 4 years of eligibility left. And, you know, we mentioned that they are coming to Abilene twice this year. Maybe I know I'll get to see him at least once because I'll go to the McMurray game. And I know lots of folks around here are going to plan to go up and watch him at ACU and over McMurray.
Yeah, I hope we have time. I told my wife, hope we can find time. And while we're preparing on Saturday and get over there, we'll plan on it and make a trip over and watch him play.
Several other guys that we talked about, you had a hand in their careers with, I don't know, I don't think you ever coached Corey Pippen anywhere. You sort of missed him. You left Cisco when he went there, but Zeth Barron and Colton Brewer, both playing at the next level, both them in their final years of eligibility.
Yeah, they are. You know, I ask about, it's easier to keep up with Colton because Clay's in the locker room. So, you know, and I asked him about their game the other night. Of course, they played a tough opponent, but then I saw the stats. So Colton had a good game. And then one other, and I haven't talked to him since the year started. He was on the roster star of the year, and, you know, he might be getting soon to break it in rotation as Russell Williams at TCU, you know, and he had a good spring there and was really enjoying it, and he loves it there. And so as of the star of the year, you know, he was hoping to get some reps, and, you know, and I guess hadn't done my job good enough and checked up on him since then, but there's another one.
His dad texted me fairly regularly and said that most recently said that he had moved up to number 2 on the depth chart at nose tackle.
Yeah, he's been playing defense lineman, you know, and I didn't watch him the other night. Hopefully this Thursday and TVO that game and go home. I think that them and Tech are on TV, and, you know, maybe we'll go out and see it and see if we can find him out there.
All right, Coach, well, we've talked about everything except the Eastland Mavericks. You're off to a 2-0 start. Got the feel, and of course I know coaches are never, I guarantee you, Coach, if you won a state championship, went undefeated after a game, I'd ask you, and you'd say, well, there's some things we need to improve on.
No, probably not. Not that night, anyway.
After you watch the film.
Maybe the next day.
Yeah. But a big opening week win against Sweetwater, avenging a loss from a year ago, over 1,000 yards of total offense put up. So I know you had lots of things that you wanted to improve upon. But just talk about the Sweetwater game a little bit with us.
You know, just one of those, when you step up in a class, it's hard. You know, they're going to have as many seniors on the roster as we had just total kids. You know, and that's always, almost always the case when you move up, or, you know, the following week as we move down, usually. You know, it's just the hard thing to do, particularly first of the year when not everyone's in great shape yet, you know, and you kind of worry about that. So,
playing,
It's hot. And so playing 3A opponent, that's the first thing you really kind of think of. But I was proud of our kids. We looked like we were, we felt like, and the kids performed like we were in good condition, and we had no problems with that. And actually throughout the game felt like we ended up being, although we didn't have as many kids as they did, but being the deeper team and handled the weather and the first game of the year better than they did. Probably didn't play as good a defense as we'd liked or wanted. Not that we played, but just had a couple opportunities. Had a 3rd and 10, a 4th and 10, I believe, give up touchdown passes, and one of them, our DB falls on the ground. You know, just kind of tough situations. But and then offensively, we had a good night, as you said. It just wasn't efficient. You know, we could be a lot more efficient with it. Hurt ourselves, stopped ourselves, I think, 2 or 3 times. Only punted once on the night, and didn't finish drives a couple of times. Had to kick field goal time. So lots to improve on. But as you said, it's good to open up the year with a win, and particularly playing someone bigger than you.
You mentioned, before we move on to the Jacksonville game, you mentioned punting. Zach Carlton has come in here and has done a pretty decent job punting the football on Friday night's big long punt. He got a good roll on it, but overall, he's done a good job punting the football for you.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's, Zach's kind of, we talked to him when he came in here. You know, he's going to have to find his way, particularly being a senior. And all these kids have been here for, 4, 5, 6 years, however long they've been in school with us. So he's just going to have to find a spot and keep working and be patient with it, and he's found lots of spots. You know, he's doing a couple roles offensively, playing his defense as well, and then, came in and got a good punter for us. Had a good punt in the first game, and then the other night had several good punts, and one which led to a direct touchdown. You know, I hadn't got the finished stats yet, but I think it's somewhere around a 68 or 70 yarder on the roll, and so he's been a good weapon for us.
We played Friday night down at Jacksonville, and Lee, anytime you want to say anything, jump in here. You
guys are doing great.
Went to Jacksboro, a team that has 21 seniors on it, picked to win their district and come away with a 60-0 shutout win, and could have been much worse.
Yeah, I felt good. To us, this week was about traveling for the first time of the year. Still hot, still on those hot buses, long trip. How do you handle that for the first time with a new team? And, that's kind of what we explained to our kids, is we felt like if we went and played, we would be the better team Friday night. But on the road, them coming off a unexpected loss, us coming off a big win, just kind of a collision course there for us to have a letdown and them to be on the other way up. And, that's what we wanted to fight off throughout the whole week and as we went down there. And I felt like we did a good job of that.
Of course, one thing that you got to do, as hard as it was as a coaching staff to try to figure out how not to score, it was equally as hard for me and Matthew to try to make the second half sound exciting. It was just really tough. But one of the things that you got to work on was back to Zach Carlton, who's not been in your system for the last 6 or 7 years like everybody else. You was able to run him in there in the second half and get him some more exposure and get him some more experience, along with your sophomore Brent Bailey.
Yeah, just all your sophomore Brent Bailey had a lot in the second half. Josh Gosdell had a lot. And then that's where you can just build depth with your team. We get to play some kids that don't get to normally play as much, or move a kid around to some other position that's kind of a secondary position for him. So it's valuable. Of course, we don't want to run the score up. We don't want to make anyone look bad or anything like that. So you kind of got to toe that line and be careful how you deal with those things. But you still want to get your kids work in. And then another important thing to think about is you want to stay healthy while you're doing that as well. So you have to go hard. You have to play hard. Put your body in good positions, because when you don't, that's when injuries occur. So you just got to kind of manage it, use the clock, and do the best you can.
And one of those touchdowns in the second half came after the Zach Carlton punt. And I believe, was it J.D. Coffey that recovered that in the end zone?
Yep. J.D. did a good job all night on the punt team. We kind of, obviously, we roll punt and try to get a roll out of it and get a guy on that side that's fast. And, the idea is to limit the return. And so we've gotten a little bit better. That's one of those things, maybe it came out of the game. We got to work on that in live action a lot. So it was good.
So a good win. So sitting at 2-0 on the season, entering week number two, game number three. It's homecoming week here in Eastland, and I know that you've been preaching to the boys that they're not coming home. They're still here. It's for everybody else.
Well, we hadn't got to talk about that yet because I hadn't seen them hardly straight on the field today. But now we will talk about that, and it's an exciting week. It's always fun. But, you know, as you try to explain those guys, obviously, if it wasn't for your game, there really is not a homecoming. I guess you could build it around another event, obviously, but it's built around our football game. So that's the thing that you want to take care of the most and that you look to take care of from our standpoint anyway.
And the Grandview Zebras, one of the most unique mascots I've ever heard of, the Zebras come to town. And last year, if I remember correctly, we went down there. It was raining, and we were down 14-0 about a minute 51 into the ball game.
We were down 49-0 at some point in that ball game as well. You've forgotten the second part of it. Those guys are good. You know, I think that probably was the game, or it was the game that grew us up a lot, if you will, last year. To end up coming back and scoring the last 21 points of the game gave us some confidence. And, you know, if I remember this correctly, I think we ended up going eight games in a row after that, or maybe nine in a row wins after that, maybe 10.
I guess it was
10 in a row, you know, so it just kind of got us going. But they're back, man. They have got just about everybody on their team back. The only offensive player they lost was their quarterback. Then they had a move in. Lito's backup quarterback moved in to help fill that void. So they're pretty solid there once again. And then on defense, they lost about three kids. And, you know, it's hard to find where they lost them because they sure replaced them in a hurry.
And, of course, I know, Coach, that everybody plays to win on Friday nights. I guess the question I'd ask is, you want to compete week in and week out. You don't like to ever get blown out in a football game. But is there any benefit to, if you're going to lose a game during season, wouldn't you rather lose it during non-district?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, obviously you don't ever want to lose. You know, we talked to our kids. We felt like we first scrimmage year, we played scrimmage Graham. And, you know, if that were a quote-unquote game, we probably didn't win on the scoreboard. But we know where we're at, you know, and we talked about it afterwards. We don't ever want to be satisfied with not winning,
right.
You know. But as we get to this week, you know, and we're playing a team that's really on that level, you know, we're looking at one of the three, four, five best in our state, probably in our division. You know, where we compare against them. You know, so let's go practice it now. And we're only week two. A lot of things can change between now and district, and even furthermore now the playoffs. So you get a chance to go up against a really good opponent, find out where you are.
It's sort of a measuring stick to find out exactly. And they're coming into this game 2-0, a big win over Paradise, 70-0, beat a 3A school this past year.
Lago's 2A.
Are they 2?
Yeah.
Okay, they're 2.
They'll probably be 3A pretty quick, but I really don't know.
Right. And but a much closer game. I can't remember the exact
21-7.
Score. Okay, 21. Imagine that you know. Have you watched a film of that game yet?
A time or two. Lago's a good program. I'd say, you know, Lago's one of those top 10, 12, 15 teams in the state as well. They butt up school districts with Lake Travis. So, you know, they have around 50 on varsity. So, quite a few kids and pretty good group to pull from. So they're a quality opponent.
And then, before I let you go, let's talk a little bit about district action. Last week, in the morning huddle, when we talked, I said, man, our district was only two teams lost in week zero. This week we turn around and there's only two teams left undefeated from our district. That's us and Comanche.
Yeah, Comanche. I'm telling you, Comanche's getting better all the time. And you kind of felt that last year being new, but also being new and changing to a, you know, not a drastic change, but when you go to an offense such as the Wing T from just a normal, if you will, normal eye offense with some one-back stuff in there, you know, that's a change, and it takes a little bit of time to really get going with that. And I feel like they've got that figured out now, and they're doing a good job. You know, I would assume Toller's a pretty good team from kind of what I've heard. Got quite a few good athletes and, you know, put it on them pretty good last week.
All right. Well, Coach, good luck this week, and I guess
We'll do this again on Friday morning at First Financial Bank.
Ready for it. Thank you.
Coach Brian Hewlett joining us here, and we'll take another break. Come back with more of the Blakeville Water Dodge Area Coaches Show in 2 minutes on KATX Sports.
Looking for style and economy in a new ride? How about the 2013 Dodge Dart, offering 41 miles per gallon, mid-size interior room, and Blake Fullenweider's pricing at under $200 a month makes the 2013 Dart a winner in its class with horsepower, 17-inch wheels, and 10 airbags as standard equipment. Test drive.